Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Fair Data Podcast, where we discuss all things fair, making data findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable. This week, we are continuing to focus on PIDs and their role in fair. I'm Rory McNeil, host of the Fair Data Podcast, and my guests today are Alethea Gomez and Elisa Harder from the Technical University of Vienna. Alethea is head of the Service Group for Scientometrics and Data Visualization, and Elisa is head of PIDs at the TU Veen Library. Alethea and Elisa, welcome. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Hi, thank you for inviting us.
Yep, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Great. All right, well, let's jump in. So the FAIR principles are closely linked to persistent identifiers, and persistent identifiers are certainly a hot topic in our world. So from your experience, how well known are the FAIR principles to researchers, and why are PIDs so important for FAIR?
So, well, I will go for it. In my opinion, when usually we ask researchers about what are the FAIR principles, our experience is that people reply, yeah, I know what this is. It's findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable. But the problem is when we want to apply that in a practical way, then many people are a bit lost about that. So, of course, PIDs are really important for be compliant with the FAIR principles, because without PIDs, we cannot make research data findable. And in my opinion, it's really important that we explain and that we make researchers aware about how are those principles to be feasible. And usually it's enough, for instance, to know that if we take a repository with that Mint already DOIs as an example, then this can make it quite easy. And yeah, only remember that one of the eight pillars of the open science are like training and make people aware about open science principles and concepts, and PIDs should be like one of those together with them.
Okay, thanks. I think so. That's actually kind of excellent setting the scene for, I think, the practical environment that everybody's working in. So the PID landscape includes some more better established PIDs and is continually being augmented with new PIDs as well. Before we talk about the emerging ones, which of the more established ones are you currently using at TU Veen?
We assign DOIs for publications in our institutional repository, Repositum. That also includes academic thesis. And moreover, we also assign DOIs for anything from our publishing house, TU Veen Academic Press, and also data sets that are deposited in TU Veen's data repository receive DOIs. And then on the institutional level, TU Veen has a variety of organization identifiers. Every organization knows that there is not only one. But so we do have a raw ID, obviously, an ISNI ID, Wikidata ID, and so far also still a CrossRefunder ID, which is going to emerge into raw, as we heard recently. And we also support Ringgold IDs as well. And then we also encourage our researchers, obviously, to set up records on ORCID and link them to our CRIS system so that these IDs get authenticated and can be reused in our systems.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. So thanks, Elisa. So are there any, obviously, the putting these things into practice is never as easy as it might seem at the policy level. Could you tell us, are there any challenges in your everyday life at the library that you're facing regarding implementation and introduction of these various PIDs that you mentioned?
Yeah, I would be lying if I said no, there are no challenges, right? There's no gain without pain. Well, regarding ORCID, we would love to see more IDs being linked to our CRIS system. So that's definitely something that's included in our job description to make sure that researchers are more and more aware of the necessity, but also the values that comes along with it. Furthermore, we also emphasize in our trainings the importance to not just set up an ORCID record, but to also populate and curate it. Because unique identification is just a key component. But then with hundreds of Jane Doe's out there in the research world, the ID as such is not enough. And it's not a clear distinction. Therefore, just like the name as such, the researcher's name, an ID is not enough. And essentially, an ORCID record can, after all, especially for early career researchers, also serve as a tool that helps them present and promote their research output. So a bit like a CV that's enhanced, so to speak. And then on the institutional level, it's just very vital for us that TOVN is identified correctly. That starts during the submission process of paper and then continues on the publisher level. And right up until the paper's metadata, and which is then reused in literature databases and so on. And it's very important to raise awareness among the researchers about this, because we see such a vast variety of namings of TOVN on the various platforms. And it's just, the curation is just very, very tedious for libraries and administrators. And so we also helped setting up a directive for naming TOVN in publications, so an affiliation directive. And I think it's also key to also promote this and make researchers aware of it.
Yeah, those are really interesting points. Really interesting. So, Alethea, as we said at the outset, you're also involved in scientometric analysis at TUVN. So how closely is that work linked to PIDs? And do you have any advice from your experience on how other libraries can best support this linking?
Yeah, of course, there are a lot of relations between PIDs and bibliometrics. So on one side, PIDs allows us this unambiguous identification, because as we already know, PIDs provide a unique and persistent reference for different types of research outputs. It can be publications, articles, books. It can be data sets, but it can also be like videos or other research outputs that are or will be really important for new assessment methods or new assessment ways of for science. And it's really important to correctly identify every items across different databases or platforms or analyzers. Also, the idea of long-term accessibility and retrieval of scholarly works is also particularly important for historical analyses, and also for tracking changes in research impact over extended periods. Also, the idea of linking different platforms or sources are really important, because PIDs like a DOI or an ORCID can be also used to connect different outputs and different works and persons and institutions. Elise also mentioned Rohr and Ringgold. The idea is that, for instance, also to be compliant with FAIR, one of the ideas is that it's not enough to put a data set and give a DOI to them, but also relate this data set to other different authors or other different works or grants or, you know, this the whole research ecosystem. And something that is really important We have some examples at TUV that we use bibliometrics also to track different outputs, also to make sure that all our publications are in our publication database. We can use through PIDs, for instance, through DOIs, we can make search in different commercial databases like Web of Science, Scopus and Dimensions. And then we use those data to curate different internal databases and also the other way around. And what I will enhance is the importance of curating metadata, because if we want to do complete bibliometric reports, we also need complete and accurate metadata. And we have some examples where we saw that maybe, you know, not all the information was sent from the publishers to CrossRef and so to the databases and so on. So this is a really important work that should be done by institutions and by researchers.
Okay, that's also really interesting. So TUVIN is also involved through the DOI service Austria and ORCID Austria with provision of PIDs at the national level. Can you tell us a bit about your involvement there?
Yeah, sure. We are the consortium lead of the DataCite Consortium DOI Service Austria that currently has 33 member organizations from all over Austria with all kinds of backgrounds. So we got research institutions and obviously higher education institutions, and also more and more seeing an interest from GLAM, so-called GLAM institutions, so galleries, libraries, archives and museums, mainly museums. And as a consortium lead, we are the first point of contact for our members, and also a bit vice versa, you know, collecting demands and passing them on to DataCite, because it is a very community-led organization, so is ORCID, obviously, and therefore they are also interested in us having an ear on the requirements from the community. We are involved in the onboarding of new members and also demonstrate to them how DRI registration should be happening, and explaining and outlining the metadata schema to them. And then we pass on news from data side and also help building like a community of practice in Austria, I'd say, for PIDs. And then for the ORCID Austria Consortium, we are currently, this currently exists of 21 members, and we are currently in the role of being the co-lead of this consortium, where the University of Vienna is the main lead. And yeah, we exchange regularly with them, obviously have team meetings, and then it's the role of the lead is somewhat similar to that of DataCite. So you are first point of contact and do the onboarding process. And it does have a bit more of a technical focus, though, because members usually are looking forward to, are looking for ways to integrate ORCID into their various systems by using the ORCID member API.
Okay, interesting. So you're the lead, but each of the institutions has their own administrative, they also played a role in administering ORCIDs or DOIs at their institution. Is
yes,
that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're right. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. So we've spoken mostly about DOIs and ORCIDs and ROARs. So it's the PIDs that are widely used now. But there's also some interesting ones that are either have just arrived or soon will be arriving. So which of these do you think will be playing a bigger role in the future?
Well, of course, ROAR as a community-led organization identifier, I think, is starting to play a very important role in the scholarly communication infrastructure. Also, the idea that is not led by a commercial entity, I think is really interesting. Furthermore, we have IGSN, which is a global unique and persistent identifier for materials or physical samples. And also what the aim of this PID is also to make transparent and traceable connections between samples and the rest of the elements of the research ecosystem, like grants, data, publications, people, and so on. We also have grant IDs, but it's also interesting to know that we have research activities IDs, which is RIGHT. RIGHT is a new PID system designed also to track and identify research activities, which are different from grants. This is also quite important. So the idea is also to capture a broader range of research contributions and also enable comprehensive tracking and attribution. We started at TU Wien Library Bibliothek two small studies about both of them, IGSN and RIGHT. And we also came to the conclusion that it's really important also to have good landing pages and to develop those ideas in a global way at institutional level. But there are others, like, for instance, Intrepid, which are in-text reference pointer identifiers that were developed by Open Citations and developed with funding from the Wellcome Trust. And in 2020, and the idea is that they are globally unique persistent identifiers for in-text reference pointers. So actually in-text citations. So what I would recommend is also keep updated, because it's an area where new things are constantly happening, and one of the good places could be the PID forum, because the PID forum is a way where many people, researchers, librarians, data providers, they all come together to talk about that. So I think we need to keep updated, because there are new ones, but they will be probably more new ones happening in the next future.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Well, that's the great overview of the kind of emerging scene. The only one that I'm aware of that you didn't mention is PIDs for instruments, which are something, in some ways, I think are closer to the IGSNs, because they're related to not a research output but something physical, an instrument or a piece of equipment. They aren't in production yet, but I think that will be an interesting. I think PIDs for instruments and PIDs for and the IGSNs will be kind of an interesting new area of PID development, because they they do deal with physical things. But yeah, very interesting. Great.
So we also didn't mention, for instance, PID for conferences. So what I wanted to say is that the area is already quite developed, and the important thing is for me to, yeah, of course, PIDs for instruments are also key, or will be key. So we need just to keep updated. So
yeah, and of course, as the in each when each new PID, you kind of mentioned this, I think, but there are also different routes for delivery and different governance structures for PIDs, and that also continues to evolve. And when new PIDs get introduced, they oftentimes have they're coming from a new provider or there's new governance. We aren't really getting into the governance too much in this podcast. We actually did an earlier podcast where we give some more, if anyone's interested, some more kind of high level overview of the PID governance globally. But I don't think we really want to focus on that today, but that continues to evolve too in interesting ways. Anyway, the two of you have obviously got extensive practical experience with PIDs, and you've dealt with all kinds of participants in the PID ecosystem. You've mentioned them, DataCite, national policymakers, research institutions, researchers, and others. So if there's anyone that has a relatively comprehensive view of the practical landscape, it's probably the two of you. So what would you say are some of the main limitations of the current ecosystem?
Well, personally, when it comes to metadata quality, and I think I already mentioned that this is quite a focus for us as a library, not only us, but mainly us, I would love to see publishers more involved and committed. And also Alethea outlined why this is important also from the scientometric perspective. What would be great in some cases would be to just be able to create metadata ourselves, or at least, you know, make suggestions that are then reviewed by the aggregator or the publisher. Because in my opinion, metadata should be flexible enough to be edited over time when necessary. Because with PIDs, we are always speaking long term, right? It's not like, you know, I always compare that to the more traditional library tasks. When we do cataloging for a book, then the cataloging happens, we take the book in our hands and, you know, start typing data in. And then unless the software changes or there are, you know, global cataloging rules being exchanged, otherwise the metadata is not so much touched again over the course of time. But this should be different for PID metadata. So it has to be updated so that the material can still be, you know, accessed and is still currently available. So especially for affiliation information and organization IDs, this should be included in the metadata. And where that is not yet the case, we as libraries, for example, should be able to, you know, have a say in it. Let's put it that way. Apart from that, I think with every new PID system evolving or, you know, having to be integrated in an existing system, the first task is usually to come up with some kind of mapping. And since everyone knows that this is very time consuming, it would be great to see more shared efforts on that front. So like on GitHub or on international working groups like
Elise, can I just ask a question, a clarification? When you say mapping, do you mean mapping between that new PID and other kinds of PIDs or other kinds of mapping? Or what are you referring to as mapping?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I'd say both, actually. So we need to somehow, as Alethea already mentioned, to be fair compliable, you need to relate one PID to another to make sure that these nodes are all connected that we need for, you know, coming up with a more or less complete knowledge graph, for example. And PIDs, that is one of their strong suits, right? If you connect them to one another, then they start to build a larger picture of the whole thing. Assigning just the DOI to one publication doesn't put it in the meta perspective, so to speak. But connecting it to a data set, connecting it to a researcher, to an organization, to an instrument, and whatever else there might be, to a conference or whatever, that creates a larger picture, and that helps also to gain new insight in that research area, right? And to also make it more trackable, let's say, yeah? And you know, have a quality control of the research being done. And what I also talked about when I said mapping, what includes that for libraries, for example, this includes having to make sure that once we enter metadata in our repository system, that it can be also reused to generate metadata for a DOI that's being minted along in the process of the metadata registration as such. And then we also want to make sure that we can reuse that data in our library catalog or discovery system, so to speak. And this also has to be compliable with data to be exchanged in our national library search systems and so on and so forth. So this always And that actually leads me to some other points that I want to mention. PIDs always have to be thought on a local, on a national, and on an international level. None of these three can go without the other. And keeping all three of them in mind, and it's also speaking from my perspective, can be quite challenging. But also we are very happy to also be involved on an international level and exchange our experience there with colleagues from all over the world. And I think collaborative efforts like the RDA are so vital to the global community. And our library is also involved with EOSC activities a lot. And I'm also a member of the DataCite Community Engagement Steering Group. And, you know, the knowledge exchange that happens on this level is so valuable for everyone involved. And I'm very grateful that the whole community understands the value of these efforts.
Great. Well, coming back to the earlier part of your comments there about mapping and the ability to take information about PIDs, combine it with metadata, and then have that flow across systems. As you know, I'm obsessed with that. And in fact, I was even behind the working with PIDs and tools interest group at the RDA, where that's a major focus is interoperability between different systems so that the mapping, there's a mapping between PIDs, but there's also, as you're saying, I think that's really, really important. There's also needs to be interoperability and mapping across tools and across systems. And so that's also a very challenging area, as you say, and it's a fruitful area for, I think it's a very fruitful area for the kind of international collaboration you mentioned, and also for further discussion in groups like the RDA, which are in a way have people like you, as well as people from DataCite, so people from a range of perspectives and experiences in the PID world, but perhaps a forum like the RDA is a bit more open and flexible to addressing some of these limitations of the current ecosystem, as opposed to the more formal, you know, structures. Because if you're in an organization, whether it's a university or something like DataCite or a tool provider, you are looking at things from, you have your immediate challenges and you have to face to survive and thrive as an organization. But I think the RDA is a great, we'll come back to the RDA at the end, but I think the RDA is a great, there's so many different interest groups and working groups on related to PIDs in the RDA. It might even be the largest number of groups on any topic, I would say. So it does seem like a fruitful forum for actually kind of frankly addressing some of these limitations and challenges which you described. So yeah, I completely agree. So let's come back. So it's great. You're in Austria, so, and you're involved in at the institutional level, but also at the national level. So is there a national PID strategy in place in Austria? And how is PID management coordinated at the national level?
So, well, for now, there is no national PID strategy in Austria. However, there are some national projects pushing this idea of standardized exchange of metadata for research outputs. One of the examples is the project ReSynergy, which aims to facilitate communication also between funding organizations, research institutions, researchers, and ministries. And the integration of PIDs are one of the aspects considered within this project. And I think this is a very important positive thing at the national level, because this project also includes or involves the funders, ministries, but also in research organizations, not only the research offices and libraries. And I think, as also we mentioned before, PID's ecosystem has to be led for different stakeholders and also for different agents. And this is, I think, an important thing. And what I only would recommend is, we were talking already, Rory, about that. Sometimes when we develop strategies and policies and so on, sometimes those are written more from a theoretical or policy point of view. And I would say it's really important, or it would be really important to involve, when we write those policies and those strategies, people that are really working with that. Because this happens also sometimes with, I don't know, with open science policies, with research assessment and so on. We have nice agreements that are not so easy to develop in the real world and real practice. And this is something that I would consider really important. So to involve not only the policymakers or the people at the higher strategy level or strategical level, but also consider like the technical people really working and develop the tools and working with PIDs. This would be like really important, so that the strategy is successful later.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. So that actually, touches really on the next question I was going to bring up, which is, so we've been in the previous couple of questions. So we discussed some of the limitations, and that also is a limitation, this kind of policy versus practice, the divide between policy and practice. And so we're discussing them today. And we've also been, I mentioned the working with the RDA, working with PIDs and Tools Interest Group, and we've also been discussing some of those gaps and disconnects there. So how do you think we can begin? You've pointed out some of the limitations that exist and some of the gaps, and how can we begin addressing these limitations, and who needs to be involved? And maybe most, kind of significantly, I think you've already said who needs to be involved. It's basically policymakers and practitioners, as well as service providers. But what do you see as the priorities? Because there's lots and lots of limitations, and that there's a limited amount of time and people to address them. So what do you see as priorities? What are the most important things that you'd like to see addressed in the relatively near future?
Well, that's of course a huge question, right? But I mean, as mentioned early on, as for who I would like to see more involved, for me, that's mainly the publishers, because, as for metadata quality and interoperability, I see them as one of the, if not the key stakeholder. So I see a key role that could be filled more by them. But I am very, very glad to see more participation, for example, in RAW community calls by publishers. And the team of RAW is doing a great job there to also promote whenever a new integration, a RAW integration has been put in place. Because I think that also takes some of those, hesitations or, the fear of this being too tedious or something like that for other publishers. And I think if the large players are taking their lead role there and taking the smaller ones along, I think that could be a huge step forward in the whole process. And then, taking along what Alethea said, I think when you develop any kind of new tool, what you want to do is you want to involve all the different user groups and make sure that you really meet their demands, right? Because sometimes we have a tendency to sit ourselves down at our desks and think of what we think are the demands instead of just going out there and speaking to people. And, for me, as an academic librarian by heart, that's our researchers and students here at our university. And we need to go out there and talk to them and listen to them. And then we can start making up decisions about how we can, actually adapt our services and create tools that really work for them. that's being the emphasis, right? That not just work, but that work for them and meet their demands.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great way to end kind of the the substantive part of this really, really, really interesting discussion. I think it's been fantastic, and it really gets down into the weeds of what it's like to really be involved in trying to promote and implement PIDs at in the ways that the various ways that you've described. So that's been fantastic. So the International Data Week that combines the 21st RDA plenary meeting with the 2023 edition of SciDataCon is being hosted in Salzburg next month, I guess in just a few weeks. So that's close enough to being a home game for you. Do you have any plans for being active?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Because together with you and Rory Edmonds from DataSide and also Tibor Kalman from GWDG, we will be more or less one of the opening acts, so to speak. And we will be hosting a session on Monday on PID provision. And we will also be reflecting on the current Austrian approach when it comes to that, and also discuss together the global challenges like we do here. But it's going to be a larger crowd there. That's going to be really exciting. And then, you know, share our thoughts and discuss where this is all going in the future. So that's really exciting. I'm very much looking forward to that session. And then, yeah, apart from that, I'm looking forward to many interesting sessions. The program is packed again with interesting talks and working group meetings and so on. And then I'm also looking forward to meeting up with all the PID nerds. And I'm saying that in a very friendly way from all over the world. So it's such a nice community. So it's going to be great to meet up with them.
Fantastic. Well, yes, I'm looking forward to it too. And it'd be nice to see you on your home ground as well. So fantastic. Okay, well, thank you both for this inspiring conversation.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you all so much from my side for the invitation. It was a pleasure to talk here to you with you.
Great. Well, that's it for this episode. I hope those who are listening in enjoyed the discussion. The Fair Data Podcast is provided by fairdatapodcast.org. and produced by Mehroz Ahmed. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, and follow us on Twitter @FairDataPodcast. See you next time.